لا ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله آل الله لا سيما بقية الله ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أعد الله من يومنا هذا لقاء الله. أما بعد فقال الله في كتابه الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتلو عليهم نبأ إبراهيم. صدق الله العظيم. مؤمنين, we are continuing the explanation of Surah Shura. The verse I recited is verse number 69. And before I start, today is the 9th of Muharram. We are mourning Mahsan alayhi salam. And we are off continuing our tafsir. May Allah accept our services to him. So the translation goes like that. Relate to them the account of Ibrahim. You know, Allah Salah in the surah first explained the story of Prophet Moses. We know that because the theme of this whole surah is that Allah is consoling Prophet's heart by saying that if you have been belied by these people, the other great prophets were also belied by those people, you know. First Allah narrated the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, how he was belied after all these great signs. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Especially Ibrahim alayhi salam is so important because Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam was in Mecca, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was his forefather, grandfather, who was in Mecca. And he was the only believer at that time. All his around were polytheists, and he stood up for the cause of monotheism. And second thing is that the people of Mecca respected Ibrahim alayhi salam, although because there were some believers in the time of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who were in Mecca from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But there were a lot of non-believers from his progeny also. But they respected him. You know? They respected him. But they got deviated from the path of monotheism. Come to polytheism, you know. The shaitan came to their life, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remind them the story of Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam so that they can pay attention to the respect of Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam and learn monotheism, you know. And Allah talks about the story how he was guided to the right path. And now Allah is saying, relate to them the account of Ibrahim. Now Allah said, إِذْ قَالَ لِي أَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبَدُونَ. When he said to his father and his people, what is it that you are worshipping? See, he was born and he stayed in the cave in his childhood because there was a fear that he might be killed. So his mom kept him in the cave for some time so that he get protected. As soon as he came out of the cave, he was a little child, but since he was a great prophet and his heart was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he came out, he was on the nature of the nature is to worship your own Lord, one Lord, which is the Lord of the universe. When he came out, when he saw in his little childhood that his uncle Azar is worshipping idols, the whole nation is worshipping idols. So he said to them, and he started arguing with them, and he said, what he said to his father and his people, in fact, the father means not biological father first, uncle Azar, what he said to them, what is that you are worshipping? Ma abadu, what are you worshipping? As he knew nothing about these things, these statues and all that. What are you worshipping? That's the way you debate people. Allah is teaching how to debate people by showing that you don't know anything about it. Just explain to me what you are doing so that people can pay attention to that. What they are doing? Are they doing something wrong? So what they used to do? Actually, what they used to do? Now Mila explains these politicians at the time, what they used to worship. They used to worship idols. What kind of idols they used to worship? They used to worship the images of some angels or some prophets or some jinn and some celestial objects. And they make the statues because they used to think that they cannot reach to the angels because they are metaphysical or jinn. They are metaphysical. Or the spirits of the stars, they're all metaphysical. Are the prophets who have passed away, to bring them in some kind of statues and worship to the reality of their spiritual being. But slowly it changed from the spiritual being of those angels and And saints, it became really the statue of the, they really worship only statues, you know. First of all, it was wrong to worship these angels and jinn. Our prophet, it was totally wrong. On top of it, they did more wrong, just focusing on this sin over on the top of sin. They were sinning to worship them, but on top of that, they just focused later on only on this thing. In the rituals of worshiping those idols without thinking. They used to think that these stars have special spirits with special characteristics, you know, some sign of love and all that, and they'll make those idols based on the spiritual meaning of that star. You know. That's how they were. Today also people are like that. If you go to India, they worship all different things, you know. And they have reason to show that they worship. And then they say to the Muslims that, oh, okay, if you accuse us of worshipping, you also go to Kaaba and worship that stone, you know. They say that. That these are explained, this is not what we do. In fact, when we go to Kaaba, we don't worship any stone there, or not we worship their house, we worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kaaba is just a direction to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our heart, our intention is only the holy sense of Allah to be worshipped, who is eternal, who is everywhere. Kaaba is only one direction. We don't worship in the Kaaba. We worship towards the Kaaba. And that has to be explained to non-believers what we mean about our worshiping. So he said, well, what do you worship? So he argued with them. So they answered, Qalu na'budu asnaman fa nadharu laha aakifin. They said, they said, we worship idols and we will go on clinging to them. They said that we worship idols and we will keep doing that because we are not going to change our attitude. If you ask, go to India and ask Hindu, what are you worshipping? They said, we worship and leave us alone. We will keep doing it. Because why they want to keep doing it? Because it's an easy life for them. There's no change in their life. Life is good. World is good. Enjoying the worldly gains. And they don't want to have any trouble in their life. Society is going smooth, but going away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what they did. So then when they said that, then Ibrahim al-Salam argued with them. قَالَ هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ أَوْ يَنْفَعُكُمْ أَوْ يَدُرُّونَ Then he argued with them. Then he said, do they hear you when you call them? Or do they bring you any benefit? Or cause you any harm? He said, basic thing for somebody to worship, do they hear you? These idols don't hear you. Neither they benefit you or not harm you. Somebody worship somebody, if they at least they hear you and have the power to harm you or benefit you. What are they doing to you? So he argued with them. Kalu bal bajadana aba ana kadalika yafalu. So what was their answer? Because they could not reply to Ibrahim alayhi salam because his logic was so strong. So they answered in a very weird way. What they said? They said, rather we found our fathers acting like this. So they said that we found our fathers doing like that. That's what we are doing. All they were saying was not answering to the logic of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but going in a different direction because they could not answer. They said that we found our forefathers doing that. Kala afara'aytum ma kuntum ta'budun antum wa aba'ukum aqdamun fa innam adulli illa rabbil alamin. Then when they said that, then what he said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, have you regarded what you have been worshipping, you and your ancestors? They are indeed hateful to me, but the Lord of the worlds who created me it is he who guides me. So he said to them that what you have been worshipping and what your forefathers are worshipping and what those who we are worshipping, they are all hateful to me. But the Lord of the worlds who created me is he who guides me. The Lord of the worlds who created me, that's the only one who guides me. So what is the meaning of Ibrahim alayhi salam saying that you and your forefathers, all idols are hateful to me? Why? And my Lord who created me is only my guide. He is only my guide. Brothers, sisters, these idols and these people who worship, they are deviated from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are your enemy because they destroy your eternal life. You know? Because the most important thing when you come to this world is to be guided so that in this small part of this worldly life, you go to eternal world for the bliss. Not for going to be misguided and go to hellfire, you know. So very important for Allah says in the Quran many times the believers should make friends only with believers. Because if you make friends with non-believers and they affect your ideology because they are your enemy ideologically. And if you mix them, see being with them nice and teaching them Islam is right. But if you mix them and mix your values with them and you become buddy-buddies, that's against Islam because they are your enemy. You know, they will take you out from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not know, but they will take you out. I give example in India, if you have a lot of Hindu friends and they become your buddies, what will happen? Those families who are too close to those people, what will happen? That they will become loose Muslims, liberal Muslims. They will not have a beard, and women will not have hijab, they'll see movies. They lose value, and they even don't realize that they lose value. They'll say that they see Allah. We go to mass, huh? We do salah. But you see the religion becoming weaker and weaker and weaker because they don't know how much bad influence we get if we mix with non-believers because they are your enemy because they are going to destroy your eternal life. You know, that's very important. If you mix it, it's Allah doesn't forbid you to be nice and kind to non-Muslims, but you cannot be buddy-buddies. And if you are buddy-buddies, if you become friends, then you lose value. You can be only nice to them and teach the correct path, which is path of Islam. That is the most important thing that you have to do that. I take a break, 2 minutes. Okay. Beta, cut down your voice. Thank you. So he said that they are my enemies. They are my enemies. Then he started describing who Allah is. Allah di khalaqni fa huwa yahdi. He said, who is my Lord? Who is my Lord? Who created me and it is who guides me. Who created me and who guides me. Because Allah created not only human beings, but Allah created the whole universe. And Allah guides everybody. He guides us biologically, He guides us. Our body part to guide us. He created our body part and guides us. Right? He guides us. Biologically, He guides us. Spiritually, He guides us. Not only us, but all the creation, He guides us. He created sun and He guides sun to do His, the sun to rotate and move around in the universe. He guided moon and guided to rotate around and move around in the universe. Same thing with the planets. He creates everything and guides everything. Not only in the physical sense, not only on the level of material, but also spiritually and also intellectually. You think that all this progress that we have doing scientific, good progress, is from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah gave us good wisdom. All good we have in this world is from Allah's guidance. And everything worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even this particle worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even these birds worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If birds stop worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bird gets hunted right there. Imam says that. And if we stop worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan comes to us. So because Allah's guidance starts, if we stop worshiping him, shaitan comes. You know, we seek Allah's refuge from shaitan. So he says about that Allah is the one who created me and guides me. Then what he says further? Walladhi huwa. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. Now he says three more things. What he discussed about Allah? Basic things. He says, and provides me with food and drink. He says, my Lord is one, not only created, but he with food and drink. He sends water from the sky so we can have fresh water. Especially in Arab and where we used to live, there was no water unless you rain fall. We have like tap water, but in Arab world, there was no water unless you have rainfall coming. And food. If food. And when I get sick, it is He who cures me. Brothers and sisters, even Prophet got sick. You know, if you get sick, we should not doubt. You know, sickness is a really a a blessing for the sinners like us, because Allah purifies our sins by sending sickness. And the spiritual value of sick person is so high that if you ask a sick person to do dua for you, his dua gets accepted. You know, there's the value of sick person. But Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't say that Allah calls me sick. He says in different way Allah. What he says, and when I get sick, he cures me. And who will make me die? Who will make me die, then he will bring me to life. Allah. He is explaining Allah so beautiful in all the sense that Allah created me, Allah directed me, Allah feeds me, gives me drinks. When I am sick, he cures me. And he goes further and says that there, when he will make me die, then he will bring me to life from afterlife. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's so beautiful. He is describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those polytheists. وَالَّذِي أَتْنَعُمْ أَيْنْ يَخْرُلِي خَتِيئَتِي يُوْمَ الدِّينِ. And then what he said, and who I hope will forgive me my iniquities on the day of retribution. He was worried about his mistakes on the day of judgment. He had no mistake, brothers and sisters. What was his mistake? He had no mistakes. We know that. He had no mistakes, but he still referred that he hopes that Allah will forgive his mistakes on the judgment day. You know, the mistakes of Allah's awliya is the good thing for us. You know, like what we think is a good thing is a mistake for us. I give example of that. Like, you know, for example, those Allah's friends, you know, they want to be with Allah all the time. They are sleeping or they are eating. They think that they are away from Allah. And they see it's like a mistake for them. For us, it's like, it's not no sin, but for them, it's sin in their own way, because they think that they were away from Allah while they were sleeping or eating or drinking. So that's the highest level they have, but they still were so humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they hope that Allah will forgive their mistake on the day of judgment. What sinners like us, how many mistakes we have, how much we should be afraid of judgment day, that how we'll be raised on the day and we hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our mistakes. Rabbi habli hukman wa rahiqni bis-salihin. Now he starts praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Lord, grant me judgment. Unite me with the righteous. Grant me judgment. What is judgment, brothers and sisters? Judgment is to have real belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, monotheism, and prophethood, and the judgment day, and imamah. This is for us the judgment, you know. This judgment is very important for us, so that we have good judgment, so we can have the good deeds. And we have good deeds, then we hope that we are among the righteous ones. Salihin. Salihin, good deed is different than the righteous one. Good deeds can be done by anybody. Even non-believer can do good deeds. But to be salihin is very important. Means purified essence in our heart. Purified. Good deeds without good faith is no good. So he said that not only are the good deeds, and not only I have judgment, good judgment, but I should be among the Salihin, the righteous one. Allah makes us righteous. We can never become righteous unless we have good judgment and a good belief system. So when we have a good belief system, then our inshallah deeds will be good, and inshallah we will be among Salihin, the righteous one. Waj'alli lisana sidqin fil akhirin. Then he prays to Allah, confer on me a worthy repute among the posterity. Means, In my generations, confer me a worthy repute among the posterity. The explanation might be done. But this translation is this: that Allah give me the progeny who is have truthful tongue, in the sense that they follow the monotheism. You know, there are some narration. It is referred to Imam Ali al-Salam, because he had a truthful tongue. He was Siddiq. Siddiq in the sense that his tongue was the tongue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lisan of Allah. Means he always talked about truth, and the word is truth, la ilaha illallah, you know. And he supported Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that tongue came through all Imams and Imam al-Zamah alayhi wa sallam, you know. So that was his prayer. We pray to Allah that Allah make us walk on the path of Imam alayhi wa sallam, and our posterity till the judgment day. We have the generations following the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Wilada fil al-Bayn. We pray to Allah subhanahu. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waj'alli min واجعلني من ورثة جنة النعيم. And now next dua here is that make me one of the heirs of paradise of bliss. We should do this dua for ourselves, that Allah grant us paradise. وَاغْفِرْ لِي أَبِي إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الضَّالِينَ. And forgive my father, for he is one of those who are astray, because his uncle was astray and he said forgive. Now there is a lot of discussion in Quran about his dua, his prayer for his father. On one hand, he said in Quran, Allah explained that he promised his uncle that I'll ask your forgiveness. Although you worship idols, but I'll ask for your forgiveness. But in Quran, again, Allah explained that once Ibrahim knew that he is Allah's enemy, he said, I don't have to deal with you anymore. So Ibrahim al-Islam changed his position for his forgiveness, because he proved to be Allah's enemy, and Allah said in Quran, there are narrations on the judgment day. A believer's son will ask for his non-believer father to go to paradise. And he will say, oh Allah, I want to take my father to paradise, although he was non-believer. Allah says that he's not your father. He says, he's my father. Allah will change his body from a human being to a hyena. And when he sees his father being hyena, he says, I don't want to deal with you anymore. This is the thing, brothers and sisters, that what is apparent is not inside. What we are is our soul. Our soul is different than our body, brothers and sisters. We should always work on our spirituality, which is our real self, brothers and sisters. Not to the outside thing. The world is busy decorating outside everything, but we have to see our hearts, where our hearts are going. And then after that, what he says in his prayers, وَلَا تُخْزَنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَسُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفُوا مَعْلُومَ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Then his prayer goes further and he says, do not disgrace me on the day that they will be resurrected. Don't disgrace me on the day of resurrection, because the day is a hard day. He is praying for himself not to be disgraced. What about us, like sinners like us, that we don't know how we treat it on judgment day? Brothers and sisters, judgment is the hardest thing. We have two hardest things coming in our life. One is the day when we die and go to Barzakh. The second hardest thing will be when we be resurrected and we will be dealt in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the hardest days of our life. Then he said, the day when neither wealth nor children will avail. Because wealth and children will be our testing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives wealth and children so that we spend both in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they both distract us over this world and we sin on that, then we are really in the loss. And it will be against us. And so he says about that. Then in the last verse for today, he says, accept him who comes to Allah with a sound heart, qalb salim. He prayed for sound heart, qalb salim. We should all pray for sound heart, qalb salim. Illa man ata Allah bi qalb salim. The only one who will be wither on judgment day, who brings to Allah the sound heart. What is sound heart? Imam Jafar Sadiq al-Islam explains. Sound heart is the heart which is nothing but Allah. There is no doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no partnership towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No love for this world, but only love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a sound heart. It is very hard to get the sound heart, because we started loving the world in a minute, brother and sister. So we should love everything which Allah gave, jai, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives money, jai money, but don't love money, it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives children, but don't love them, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bibi Zainab asked Mullah Ali, why do you love me? Because he said that because Allah told me to love you. That's why Hussain on the 10th of Muharram could give the second one of his children, because he loved Allah and he had children. He loved children for the sake of Allah. We should not attach the things, our things to this world, our children, our money, but for the sake of Allah. Then it's okay. But if these things pull you towards them and you forget Allah and you disobey Allah, then they become your fitna. We seek refuge from Allah to have fitna in our heart and lose our sound heart. You know, these were the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which came in Quran. And we see the du'as of Imam Hussain alayhi salam in the prayer of Arafah. Before Imam got martyred, when he went for the last Hajj and he could not do that Hajj, he had to convert him to Umrah, but he recited the du'a Arafah. This is the ma'rifah of his grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salam, which Allah illustrated in Quran so beautifully. The ma'rifah, if I'm saying, we get from Dua Arafah, how beautiful his grandson prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how detailed the prayer is, you know, how deep the prayer is, which gives understanding of Ahl-e-Bayt. Nobody can test their position, their highest position in the universe, How beautifully described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam took Ismail alayhi salam for the sacrifice, but Allah changed, Allah accepted the sacrifice but sent the ram. Allah accepted the sacrifice and said that this is a great sacrifice, but Allah sent the ram. But look at Imam alayhi salam, how he was detached from this world, and he took everything which he had, and he showed to the world that I have no attachment to this world, I have no attachment to my money, I have no attachment to my children. He was on the highest level of spirituality, brothers and sisters. He was the pride of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was the heir of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He showed how his sons can be martyred, how the arrow can come and slaughter Ali Azhar, and how a spear can pierce the heart of his son Ali Akbar alayhi salam. How he gave the two arms of his brother to Abbas alayhi salam in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How he gave the whole house and tents and everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sent salam to Imam alayhi salam. As-salamu ala Hussein, as-salamu ala Ali ibn Hussein, as-salamu ala Awlad Hussein, as-salamu ala Ashab Hussein. He sent salam to all of them. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiqah to follow the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Detach our heart from this world. Put our heart to you. So on the judgment day, we can be get shafaat from Imam Hussein al-Salam. We can only get shafaat from Imam Hussein al-Salam if we follow his path. But if our heart is engrossed in the world, how can we get shafaat from al-Salam? We walk some other path, but we don't walk the path of Imam Hussein al-Salam. How does we can expect shafaat from Imam Hussein al-Salam? Unless we don't follow his path, how could we help our Imam Mahdi al-Salam who is coming? How we can give our children a well-fed the Imam Mahdi al-Salam when he comes? How can we sacrifice our life? Brother and sister, we pray on the night of Muharram to put our heart, the sound heart, always salim. So we have become the true companion of Imam Mahdi al-Salam.